I had hoped to stop at the two lessons, but there are some important points which sometimes, you know, I may tell myself in another few months or weeks, we will revisit and look on those other points. But I felt that it was probably more appropriate to look at these points now, dealing with the grace of the Almighty God. We are saved by grace. It's important that we understand what that means and what it implies. It means that, well, let me back up. One preacher pointed out, as I hinted last week, that he sought to put grace in division. Redemptive grace, accession grace, and possessory grace. And some of the points are well taken, even though we might not have looked on it like that before. Redemptive grace points to the truth that access to forgiveness of sin, fellowship with God, salvation in Christ, all those are all God's doing. That is, making it possible for us to be saved, making it possible for us to have fellowship with the Almighty God. We have nothing to do with the provision that was made. That was purely God's business. And we must be mindful of that. It's not that we were so nice and so religious and so morally upright that God was driven to send Jesus Christ to Calvary for us. It's nothing like that. It was all God's doing, sending Jesus Christ to die for us. Again, I take you back to a point made in the first lesson, I think, where we turn to the book of Romans, where it talks about, for a good man, scarcely. It talks about a righteous man. We are not glad to die either for the righteous or for the good man who appeals to our emotion. And the Bible tells us or implies that we were neither good nor righteous. But at the time the Almighty God sent Jesus Christ, we were sinners. And that provision in Christ is what this preacher referred to, and it's one of our preachers, referred to as redemptive grace. And you may say, Brother Mitchell, all grace is redemptive grace. Well, as we listen to the lesson, you may adjust your feeling there a little. So, that redemptive grace where all men and women have access, I says, they have access to the salvation that is available in Christ. They have access to the fellowship that is available with God. But watch here now. In fact, let us run to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh.
What verse is that?
Verse 3.
Read on.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children.
Remember, what he's doing here is helping the Ephesians to remember what they were before they access the grace of God. Read on.
And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ.
You know, some months or weeks ago, we have a series of lessons and the title, But God. You see, that But God always makes a lot of difference. And the brothers just read that, but God somewhere there, I think it's verse 4 or wherever. But God, telling what God has done. Read on.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
You notice, it's not just love, it's his great love. Read.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. End of verse 5.
Just read a little more.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places.
Okay. By grace you are saved. One other passage on the same point says, it is not your work. It is God's work in effect. You see, brothers and sisters, in redemptive grace, it is God alone who acted. That is the decision to send Jesus Christ to give his life for us. You see, and that, as far as the Almighty God sees, that's the only way we could get forgiveness and redemption. But the decision to send Jesus Christ at Calvary and die the cruel, barbaric death he died, that was God's decision alone. That is redemptive grace. But no, notice now in the same Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 10. Let us hear it.
And hath raised us up together.
And hath raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
And made us sit together.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith.
So by grace you are saved through faith.
And that not of yourselves.
He had to put that there lest we get carried away. It is not of yourself. Read on, brother.
It is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. It was God's doing alone in making his gracious, loving, merciful decision for Jesus Christ to go to Calvary to pay the price for our sin that we could not pay. That was God's decision alone. Man had nothing to do with that other than the fact that God loves man. Read on.
Not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
For we are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship.
Created
in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. Unto good works.
Unto good works.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
What verse are you?
End of verse 10.
You use the word access somewhere there. Find it for me. You had read from verse 6 through verse 10. Sometimes we pass over these words so quick, but it's there. Access. It was used somewhere there. I just want you to see if you find the exact verse.
I see it in verse 18.
Well, let me hear what that says.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Yes. And the point is, we are going to come upon the word access quite a few times before this lesson finishes. The point is, it's one thing for God's grace to be available. It's a completely different thing now to access his grace. God's redemptive grace is God's work alone. That is sending Jesus Christ to provide a way for us to be forgiven. That's God's work alone. But then, how man access that grace, that's where we come into the picture. And that is important. How is that grace access? We are saved through his grace in Jesus Christ, but how does one access the grace? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 2. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Let us hear Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
May I? We are going to read quite a few passages, and these passages are almost all saying the same thing, though the wording is different. But what I want you to understand is that these passages, the emphasis in them is telling us how to access God's grace. How do you get to God's grace? God's grace is available in Christ. That's one thing. But what this person described as accession grace, A-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N-E-D, that is, how do you access that grace? How do you hold that grace? How do you become a beneficiary of that grace? In this lesson, I'll be showing, at least we all will be reading a passage where the Bible says that Noah found, help me here, grace in God's sight. Watch here, watch here, watch here. But for Noah to benefit from God's grace. But Brother Mitchell, the Bible have already said that he found grace in God's sight. But when we get to this passage, what you have to realize that in order to be protected from the flood, there is something else Noah had to do. Even though he had already found grace in God's sight. And the point being emphasized today is the fact, in fact, let me let you into my secret, or the secret of this lesson. We are heading to the plan of salvation. That's right, that's where we are heading. You see how good I am to you? That's where we are heading. And the important point here is accessing God's grace. It's one thing for God's grace to be available, but if you do not appropriate, make use of accessing that grace will not benefit you. So we are at Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
You see, it's not just grace alone. God's part is God alone. But that God provide grace only implies that man have to do something to access that grace. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 2.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received.
You have to receive the gospel?
And
wait, brother. That the gospel exists doesn't mean you will benefit from it. That God's good news exists doesn't mean you will benefit from it. You have to access it. Here Paul says, you receive it. Read on, brother.
And wherein ye stand.
You have to stand in the gospel.
By which also ye are saved.
We are saved by the gospel. But watch here now, watch here now.
If ye keep in
Wait,
memory.
You call that word there too quick. That word if. You see, the blessing of God, forgiveness, it's all there. But that word if imply condition. That's right, always. So when you hear men and women out there talk about God's grace and God's love, the Almighty God has ways by which we access his grace and access forgiveness. By which you are saved.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you.
But suppose we don't keep in memory. That's right. Wait, Christian, that has implication for us. That is telling you and me, you don't sit through a Bible study Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or a sermon and not putting out effort to retain as much as you can. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you.
Unless ye have believed in vain.
That's right. Look at Titus that we shared with you last week. chapter 3, verse 5, that grace not only teaches, grace has condition. Let us hear it. Titus chapter 3, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. End of verse 5.
Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. I think that's the passage.
For the grace of God.
For the grace of God which brings.
That bringeth salvation. Hath appeared to all men.
It appeared to all men. Wait. That means it is available to all men. But watch it. That grace is available to all men does not mean all men and women are saved. The grace of God that brings salvation is available or appear to all men. Now, grace is now imposing some condition. If you are going to become beneficiary of grace, what grace does?
Teaching us that.
Grace teaches us that.
Denying ungodliness.
We must deny ungodliness.
And worldly lust.
We must deny worldly lust.
We should live.
Wait, that's the negative, as I pointed out. Now it's giving us the positive. We must live
soberly.
Soberly.
Righteously.
Righteously.
And godly.
And godly.
In this present
world.
Wait.
You do not wait to do that. You do that in this world. That's right. Wait, you remember what we are talking about? Grace. You see, the concept out there is that we are saved by God's grace, and it's like we are to do nothing. Grace imposes condition. Look at Acts 5, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Let us hear them.
And we are his witnesses.
We are his witnesses.
Of these things.
Of these things.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
You notice something here? There are particular things that God gives only to certain people. And this, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is given to every true child of God, but it is dependent on that person being obedient to Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9.
Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Though he were a son, yet learn he
obedience.
Obedience. Even the Son of God had to obey. Read on, brother.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation.
Watch here.
Unto.
Now, wait, take time with me, brother. Not to just any and anybody. He became the author of eternal salvation to whom?
Unto all them that obey him.
You see, we have to obey him. That is their condition to grace. God's grace is available. But there are things that man must do. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12.
According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access.
We have boldness and access.
With confidence by the faith of him.
Boldness and access. This have to do with the sinner recognizing that the Almighty God has provided something out there, something spiritual, something eternal, something beneficial. But that it is out there doesn't mean you will benefit from it. You will have to access it. It is when we access it, then we can talk about accession grace. That is, you have access, you have laid hold on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You remember mentioned Noah? Noah was exposed to God's grace before the flood, long before the flood. Noah was exposed to God's redemptive grace. That is provision that God had made for men to be saved, or for God to bless them in various ways. But watch here. In fact, let us hear it in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8 to verse 9.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Start again.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8 and 9.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God.
Stop there now. So Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Does it mean that there is nothing Noah had to do? No. When we read in the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we will discover that for Noah to be saved from the destruction of the flood, even though Noah found grace in the sight of God, Noah had to do something in order that the flood did not destroy him. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 21.
Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water.
Noah found grace in God's eye long before he started. In fact, before he was told to build the flood. It's about that time, of course, to build the ark. Noah found grace in God's sight. But that he found grace in God's sight, he had to spend years building the ark in order to be saved. What's the point? It's one thing for the grace of God to be available to all men. It's a completely different thing that men do what they need to do, what God told them to do, in order to access, lay hold on, and benefit from the grace of God. The brother read First Peter chapter 3, you had read verse 21?
No.
Let us hear it.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Wait. Let me just drop by here. This passage is not teaching that baptism is a figure. The King James so worded that, and it can be misleading. Baptism is not a figure of such. What is the figure? The salvation of Noah's generation. That's the figure. Not just baptism. Is that what the passage is teaching? Is that in the same way Noah generation got saved, similarly we will get saved by being obedient to the will of God, obeying the word of God. That's right. Read again, brother.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Mm-hmm.
Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh.
That is, baptism is not a bath.
But the answer of a good conscience towards God.
No man can have a genuine conscience in God's sight without being baptized. Let me put it generally. Without being obedient to the word of God, to the teachings of Jesus Christ, which includes faith in him, repentance from sin, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized. No man can have a true, genuine conscience until you have obeyed God. And baptism is one of the conditions that must be obeyed. May I? Redemptive grace is one part that is God's part alone. Accession grace, that is to access the grace of God, is where man comes in the picture. Look. Let me, before I close, every step of our salvation, we must realize that responsibility is placed on us. Notice what the Bible teaches about grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4.
Christ is become of no effect unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
Fallen from what?
Fallen from grace.
Fallen from what?
Fallen from grace.
What the Bible is teaching here is that you can access grace and lose it. You can access grace and lose it. And what this passage is emphasizing, whenever you bring any religion, any religious personality, to want to make that person equal with Christ, to want your salvation to be dependent on anything, any teaching other than the gospel, any person other than Christ, you are undermining Jesus Christ. That means you cannot benefit from grace in him. Here the passage the brother has read is that if you try to bring in the law, the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath and all those things, just doing that alone cut you off from the grace of God. The grace that you probably once embraced. You bring in some man-made teaching, man-made church, human personality, in your salvation, you cut yourself from Christ, because Jesus Christ and the gospel needs no supplement, no help. The world waited for Christ. All that was given, the law was given to serve a temporary purpose. May I? Just quickly, as I wrap up. Listen, the passage of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 24 and 32. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 24 and 32.
But none of these things move me. Mm-hmm. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, uh-huh. so that I might finish my course with joy, uh-huh. and the ministry uh-huh. which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
To testify what?
The gospel of the grace of God.
To testify what?
The gospel of the grace of God.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. Cut it short. The gospel of grace. That was verse 24. Read verse 32 also.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
Okay, wait. What is the word of his grace? Every time you hear the gospel of Christ, you are hearing word of his grace. Every time a man, a woman comes and tell you the plan of salvation, that's the word of God's grace. Wait, it's important that we get this as I wrap up. And I should have gotten to this before now, but I felt it important to emphasize those other points. Brothers and sisters, the way we see grace as something you go and take. It's made ready for you. And in many senses, we are right. But I'm here to tell you today that the steps of salvation are part of God's grace. When the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we must believe in Christ, repent of our sin, confess Christ, and get baptized, all of those steps are words of God's grace. Let me briefly explain. A man left, as I've said, $100 million for you in Montego Bay. And that's all the information you have, $100 million are left for you in Montego Bay. He doesn't tell you who has it, what street it is. We're in Montego Bay. Now, brothers and sisters, you could search from now until thy kingdom come and don't get to that $100 million. But now it's a different thing now. When the man who has left that for you tell you to take the nice bus them name. The North Coast Highway. Knoxwood Express. He told you to take Knoxwood Express from Kingston to Mandeville. And then he said, when you reach Mandeville, you take the Knoxwood Express to such and such a place. He has that written out. And he said, when you take the Knoxwood Express from Mandeville to Montego Bay, you take taxi number such and such to this street address. And when you reach this street address, you ask for Mr. Carl Mitchell. Are you going to quarrel and say, may I have to take them three bus there and may I have to take taxi? Huh? You're going to quarrel? you are going to be glad to take more buses if necessary, because $100 million is waiting for you at a particular address. So all the instruction given by the man who left that money for you, that is grace. It's part of the man's kindness to you. As against him leaving that money and don't tell you how to get to it. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ tells us that we have to hear the gospel, that's word of God's grace. When he tells you that you must believe, that's words of God's grace. That's all part of his grace. When he tells you that you must repent of your sin, that is turn from sin to righteousness, turn from self to Jesus Christ, turn from the ungodly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ, you're going to find fault with that? No. That is telling you how to access God's grace. My God, when the man tell you to take Knoxwood Express number 1, even if previously that ride was not nice, you're going to find it nice now. Because what awaits you at the end of it? You know, you tell men and women you must be baptized and they find fault. What is in the water? Foolishness. All of that is part of God's grace. Every step of salvation, every aspect of the gospel. The gospel has facts to be believed. Those facts represent God's grace. The gospel has commands to be obeyed. Those commands are part of God's grace. The gospel has promises to be received. Those promises are all part of God's grace. What you grumble about? Christian, you and I must let men know and understand. People come asking, what is in the water? God didn't tell you to look for anything in the water. Just obey. Remember, we have just read where Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. To whom? To them that obey him. To whom? To them that obey him. So it's not just grace standing alone. You have to access, watch here, God's grace, God's way. That's the other point. You don't just do what you want. You do what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Thank God for the grace of God. You can access God's grace today by believing that Christ, who went to Calvary's cross, is the Son of God. And if you believe that genuinely enough, you know what that belief does? That, you know what that faith does? That faith pushes you to repentance. That's right. When the Bible talks about the obedience of faith, it is referring to the obedience which grows out of true faith. So if you truly believe, not only will you repent, you'll be willing to confess Jesus Christ's name and be baptized for the removal of your sins.